Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinions. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Thank you, Father, for all those who are part of our listening family today, and thank you for your hand of grace upon each and every one of us and your mercy at work in our lives. Father, you are Father. We thank and praise you for the fact that you're a Heavenly Father that always, always, always hears the prayers of your children. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Hey, love, thank you so much for these moments, and thank you so much for all the gifts that you give the church. Thank you so much for how you call the church to unity, to walk as one, fully in you, guided by your Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, I ask that we would delve into scriptures more, that we delve into prayers more, that we delve into your instruction, your direction, all the more, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, I ask that we'd step out of our doors more, that we'd go and walk in ministry, loving those in need, and loving everybody made in your image, as you have called us to and as you have shown us to. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. You know, on a pretty regular basis, we're encouraging you to start the habit, if you haven't already, of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible each and every day. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." You know, one of the reasons why it's so important for us as believers to decide that we're going to take serious getting into God's Word every day is because, remember, amongst other things, when you're reading the Bible, God is touching you. He's touching your life. He's pouring grace and power and blessing into your heart, your mind, your life. You need that. I need that. Our children need that. We all need that. So getting into God's Word is so important. None of us can overemphasize how important that critically important habit is of getting into His Word each and every day. Just a reminder as well, remember there are at least 7 ways we can use God's Word every day. Remember, we can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, pray it, obey it, and meditate on it. All of them are related, but none are quite the same thing. You can read the Word of God, but not hear it. You can believe the Word of God, but not choose to necessarily pray it. All of them are related. All of them will edify you and strengthen you in your walk with the Lord, but they're not any or none of them are quite the same thing. So our encouragement is that you'll decide that you're going to put God's Word to work in all 7 ways each and every day. Again, you can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, pray it, obey it, and meditate on it as well. I want to take time now to read an article that we've shared from the AFA stand that we've written. This first one is, and of course, obviously, please email us to get a copy if you'd like to get a copy. The first one is entitled, God's Word, 3 Chapters a Day. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And then Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Again, Hebrews 4:12. Practicing daily spiritual habits are necessary in our daily walk with the Lord. Why is this true? Because followers of Christ are to be passionately faithful. In life, we form habits to help us consistently do things that are important to us, habits that help us accomplish the goals we believe are critical to our lives. I regularly encourage believers to set a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in God's Word every day. This habit is one of the most important to establish in the life of any believer. Why 3 chapters and why every day? If a believer reads 3 chapters in the Word of God every day, that can be a basic spiritual meal for him or her. It might be that you read the same chapter 3 times over, or you may read 3 different chapters. Doing either one is fruitful and wise. How is this helpful in our walk with the Lord? Well, remember, the Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. So when you're reading the Word of God, it's one-on-one time talking with and spending time with Jesus. It's your daily appointment with Him. The Lord Jesus will spend as much time with you as you will spend with Him in His Word. If it's important for us to read the Word of God, yes, and it is important for us to read the Word of God every single day. And just as our bodies need physical food every day, so too we need to feed our spirits daily as well. God's Word is food for our spirits, like physical food is food for our physical bodies. Feeding your physical body every day can help you to be strong, vibrant, and healthy. Feeding your spirit, the Word of God daily, can help you to be strong, vibrant, and spiritually healthy. Now, if a man or woman only ate a small snack once every other day, very soon he or she would grow physically weak in their physical abilities. Likewise, when a believer only reads a verse or two from the Word of God every day or every other day, he or she will become spiritually weak. Sadly, it appears that too many believers live on what you could call a starvation diet spiritually when it comes to reading the Word of God. It's spiritual neglect. Too many believers may not even pick up a Bible for days. It is for this reason that many believers are spiritually anemic, spiritually weak, and frail. My suggestion to you is today, start the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in God's Word daily. It's a way of blessing and rewarding yourself all at the same time. See Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3, and Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. Why not start rewarding yourself today? Here are 10 great reasons for the starting of the reading of God's Word every single day. First, it tells you genuinely how to be saved and how to grow up in your faith. See John 3:16, Psalm 119 verse 105, Romans 12:1 and 2, and Philippians 4:6 through 7. Next, it gives you clear guidance and direction for much of your life. See Psalm 119 verse 105, 2 Timothy 3 verses 15 to 17. Next, it empowers your prayer life. See Philippians chapter 4 verses 6 and 7. Another truth is because it sharpens, another reason to read the Word daily is because it sharpens your ability to hear the voice of your Holy Spirit more and more clearly in your life. See 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. Next, it administers to your mind, body, and spirit. See Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. Again, that is the daily reading of God's Word ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. Another truth is, as to why it's important to read the Word daily, it helps you maintain your mental health. According to Dr. Paul Meyer, he indicated the number one thing you could do to maintain your mental health was read the Bible every single day. Next, it increases God's anointing in every area of your life. See 1 Corinthians 1:5. Next, it increases your wisdom in every area of life. See Proverbs chapters 1 through 3. Another truth is it enhances your intellect and personality. It literally can increase your IQ. See 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. And then a final truth, reading the Word of God daily is important because it pours grace, peace, mercy, and joy into your spirit, your mind, and your life. See 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, and Galatians 5, 22. Reading 3 chapters a day from the Word of God will bless you tremendously. Let's make it a high priority, and parents, we're wise to have our children to read 3 chapters aloud to us every single day. It'll greatly bless them and you and your home. Again, the title of that article, God's Word, 3 chapters a day. If you'd like to get a copy, email us at joseph@afr.net. Then a second article is entitled Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. Again, Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. In the scriptures, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the church, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Again, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. Then children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, so that it may turn out well for you and that you may live long on the earth. We'll pick up on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. The title of this article was Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. We'll be right back.
You're the one who walked on water, and you calm the raging seas. You command the highest mountains to fall upon their knees. You're You're the one who welcomes sinners, and you open blinded eyes. You restored the brokenhearted, and you brought the dead to life. Forgetting all our sins, you remember all your promises. You are amazing, more than amazing. Forever our God, you're more than enough. You are amazing.
Music of Lincoln Brewster with More Than Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Picking up continuing reading from an article from the AFA Stand that we wrote entitled Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may turn out well for you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Again, Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4. The best defense is an offense. This is a statement that we may hear in sports situations, but nowhere is this statement more true than in the kingdom of God. It's also true in the Christian family. An important question one may ask is, how can a believer get on offense in spiritual warfare? Very simply, faithful obedience to God and His Word puts you on offense spiritually. We're each called to read and study the Word of God diligently, then faithfully obey what we learn. When Abraham packed up his family and moved to the place God had told him to move to, he got on offense. And as long as he obeyed God, he stayed on offense. When Moses, in obedience to God, walked into Egypt and confronted Pharaoh and told him, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go," he stepped into offense. Moses went on offense when he obeyed God and spoke these bold words to Pharaoh. So when we in our families and in our homes are wise enough to passionately obey God in the way we guide, mold, and shape our children and families, we're going on offense. When husbands and wives start to pray together daily, they're on offense. When parents begin to pray daily with their children in their home, these parents are going on offense. When husbands and wives seek to diligently love each other sacrificially, as we're called to do, they are on offense in their marriage and in their home. When families and individuals ignore the Word of God, disobey the Word of God, or just neglect the Word of God, it leaves us to function on defense. Disobedience to the Word of God opens the door to the devil and allows him to have access to our home and relationships. It gives the devil the opportunity to attack our marriages, families, and homes. It can quickly put the family on defense and have the family struggling on defense. One may ask, why is obedience so important in the kingdom of God? Well, remember, the Word of God is the wisdom of God. It's the strategy of God, and it's the counsel of God. And God's Word always works when you live it out. God's Word is a sure strategy in life. Also, the kingdom of darkness has no adequate defense against obedience to the Word of God on the part of a believer. May we as a family strive to live fully obedient lives, seeking to live for Christ. The following are some suggested weapons, tools, and or tasks you and your family can seek to use or do on a daily basis to stay on offense in your home and in your family. First, you can read the Word of God every day individually and as a family together. Next, you can discuss as a family how we can live out the Word of God, live a life in obedience to the Word of God. Another suggestion, Make it a goal to be kind and thoughtful to your spouse every day of your life. Another suggestion, pray daily, individually, and together as husbands and wives and together as a family. Next, attend Sunday morning worship and Bible study together as a family. Another suggestion, worship together as a family both at church and at home. Next, make it a goal to walk in love, patience, and forgiveness as a lifestyle with everyone that you meet. Another suggestion, get involved in mission projects and go on mission trips as a family. Another suggestion, come up with projects to raise money for missions and ministries. Next, go out as a family and distribute gospel tracts in strategic places. And then finally, be mindful that individually and as a family, we are called to always be on offense in the kingdom of God. In other words, we're called to live a life full of faithful obedience. The title of that article again, Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. If you'd like to get a copy of that article or the first article as well, both the earlier article, God's Word, 3 chapters a day, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the book of Psalm 118, starting at verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me, and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifices with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgment, for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant, who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually, forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Remember the word to your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. The proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of any pilgrimage. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. Verses 1 through 55, Psalm 119. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Word of God. We'll be back. Of Covenant Church with My Heart Cries. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up now reading in the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 28. When he had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you loosing it?' thus you shall say to him, 'Because the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, 'Why are you loosing the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of him.' Then they brought him to Jesus, And they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near to the the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house is a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." And he was teaching daily in the temple. But the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Luke chapter 20. Now it happened on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, that the chief priests and the scribes, together with the elders, confronted him and spoke to him, saying, "Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who is he who gave you this authority?" But he answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men?" And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, all the people will stone us, for they are persuaded that John was a prophet." So they answered that they did not know where it was from. And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Then he began to tell the people this parable. "A certain man planted a vineyard, leased it to vine dressers, and went into a far country for a long time. Now at vintage time, he sent a servant to the vine dressers that they might give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the vine dressers beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent another servant, and they beat him also, treated him shamefully, and sent him away empty-handed. And again, he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, 'What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Probably they will respect him when they see him.' But when the vine dressers saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours.' So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those vine dressers and give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, certainly not. Then he looked at them and said, what then is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Whoever falls on that stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. And the chief priests and the scribes that very hour sought to lay hands on him, but they feared the people, for they knew he had spoken this parable against them. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be righteous, that they might seize on his words in order to deliver him to the power and the authority of the governor. Then they asked him, saying, Teacher, we know that you say and teach rightly, and you do not show personal favoritism, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But he perceived their craftiness and said to them, Why do you test me? Show me a denarius. Whose image and inscription does it have? They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. But they could not catch him in his words in the presence of the people, and they marveled at his answer and kept silent. Then some of the Sadducees, who deny that there is a resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies having a wife, and he dies without children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers, and the first took a wife and died without children. And the second took her as wife, and he died childless. Then the third took her, and in like manner the seven also. And they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife does she become? For all seven had her as wife. Jesus answered and said to them, The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are counted worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, nor can they die any more, for they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But even Moses showed in the burning bush passage that the dead are raised when he called to the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live in him. Verses 1 through 38, Luke chapter 20. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Thanks for listening. Father, thank you, Lord, for every believer listening today. Thank you for us as your church. Thank you for us as a nation. Lord, help us as the church and as a nation, Lord, and as individual believers, help us, Lord, to put you first in all that we say and do. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Let me remind you once again, one of our prayer tools that we like to share with listeners is called Kingdom Prayers. And if you'd like to get a copy of it, it does include within that a prayer praying the Ten Commandments, a prayer for Psalm 91, the Lord's Prayer, and a number of other great prayers, the Prayer of Jabez, and a number of others that are Bible-based prayers. So please email us. My email, joseph@afr.net. Same email if you'd like to get a copy of the articles we shared earlier as well. As we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you have never given your heart to Jesus Christ, you desire to be saved, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you from your heart pray this prayer with us right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a very long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to live for you all my life. Help me to read the Bible every day. Help us to pray and seek you in prayer every day. Help us to obey your word every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. We'd like to be in touch with you once again. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please get in touch with us so we can share with you literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong and vibrant in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. If you'd like to get a copy of one or both of the articles that we shared earlier, the two titles were God's Word, 3 chapters a day, and the second article, Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. If you'd like one or both copies, again, same email, joseph@afr.net. We're glad to get one of these or both of these or any others that we've shared on the broadcast you'd like to get as well. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.